Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Intermission.
We haven't been shut down yet.
Surprising. All right, straight to business. We've actually got some new members along with us this time. I mean, probably just for this week only. Shivers said he wanted to take a bow out in order to focus on his university studies. He's readying up to become a righteous...
He's becoming a professional airbotologist.
Yes, they actually have a field of that. But introducing is now the guy who begged to be on the podcast so hard he actually showed for himself in the first video, Marty Razor Kyra.
Hi, it's me. By popular demand, my own popular demand, I'm here.
A popular vote of one.
Hey, somebody voted. Even if it was me, it still counts.
Yes. Taking a whole new meaning to sock puppet. Or rather, I want to sock the puppet. And then next up, a man that needs no introduction has single-handedly revitalized and reworked the Doom community on perhaps the other communities in the entire universe just with his name alone, presenting Zazer Acheron.
All of those are correct, except you have to pronounce them at once. You may need a
his
few
actual
extra
name is,
vocal
his actual
cords.
Name is unpronounceable by the human tongue.
I can't even pronounce it. Like, that's how horrible it is. Like,
it's a Zazthulu. Zathulu.
That's why I was casted on my home world. Is it just, you know, that's one of the first tests of becoming a man. You have to pronounce your name while standing on your head, reciting the alphabet backwards. And there's about 8,703 letters in the alphabet. And all right, I'm just gonna take this too far. I'm gonna stop right here.
I was like, let's see where it goes. Yes, go away.
Let's see how hard this joke can die.
Damn! And here I thought my 18th birthday was rough.
Well, you didn't get arrested, so it's better than some of my friends.
Wait, this isn't jail?
No, surprisingly.
What am I doing here? Can I leave?
No. We had to bust you out. We had to work really hard with the governors in order to help you out.
Oh, okay.
Officially, this is work leave.
This is work? Am I getting paid for this?
Welcome to moving on.
The Intermission podcast.
This is what happens when you invite exceptional strangers along.
This is what you call second jail.
So we've got Marty and we've got Zazer Acher. So moving straight along. Kenzie, why don't you take it away with any sort of interesting news that's been happening in the community?
Well, there was some re-release of some game, but I don't think any of us here have played it, so who really gives a shit?
I didn't even play games.
Didn't you make a nice little video on it?
The other one. I did a video of Shadow Warrior 2. I got the worst first impression of that when I started playing it, because I got stuck on a ledge, well, in a ledge. Then I restarted the level, and I got stuck in the ledge before that ledge, straight away.
It's a feature.
Yeah, it's actually a bug. The hint box says to hold space to go up ledges, but it really means hold space to go in ledges.
Yes.
And on the community side of things, a lot of projects that got delayed for a long time got released, which means that there's going to be a lot of competition for the MoreDef reward this year. So first up, Termis, after a bit of bitching and protesting from myself and probably some others, you finally kicked out Dump 3.
Yes.
Woo!
After a whole 3.5 months, which is, honestly, compared to most community projects, really kind of, shall we say, drops in the bucket.
It's okay. I delayed realism for like 2 years.
Yeah, and then there's TNT2 Devolution, and I think that's going on its 7th year.
Oh, jeez.
That's a good question. Like, it's far back enough that, I would have to do some serious forum searching to figure it out. Now, the real question is, have I been on the project longer than I haven't? And sadly, the answer is about to be yes. So,
but enough about hacks. I'm sorry, that was mean. That was mean.
Low blow, dude.
Yeah, that was real mean.
I only have so many sets of balls. Like, give me some slack.
Wait, hold on. You have more than one set.
Tonight on Intermission After Dark.
Yeah, Cage actually posted some art of that recently, and it seemed pretty interesting. So even if it's like slow. Progress is still progress.
To be fair, Cage is working on about as many projects as Zazer is at this point.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Yeah, but if there's one thing that both Cage and Zazer have demonstrated, it's that they always eventually deliver.
Mm.
Which brings us to the next one, No End in Sight, which is... Whew, that was released recently, too. And, oh my god, that was worth every bit of the wait.
Oh, thanks. This is the part, because we like puns, that I point out how ironic the name is, because the end of the project is now in sight.
Ha. Yeah, I was going to say, if you didn't say it, I would say it. So that's good. That
you... I'm stealing your lines!
No One in Sight is an interesting project, because it's one of those projects where I recognize that it's really good, but it's like completely built in a way that's completely antithetic to my way of thinking. Like, E1M2, the blue key card, it's sort of tucked between those two stairways,
mm-hmm.
and I completely missed it for, like, 10 minutes, just wandering around the map in circles, trying to find some door I must have missed somewhere, walking past it over and over again. Don't know, it's just, like, they're really good maps, but they're also, like, anti-me in some way.
I think you kind of hit the gameplay style in the head. Run around confused for 10 minutes and then find the thing that was right in front of you the whole time.
It's that was the goal?
No, but it ended up being it. Like, that wasn't the intent.
So, Eternal Doom 5. I'm glad to see that got a release.
Well, no end in sight. It's very, very secretly a Eternal Doom reference that we didn't even intend. So, there you go. Illuminati confirmed.
Hey, gotta pay respect to Espy. Espy.
Oh, geez. Wow.
Him.
We're good at pronouncing around here. That's why we do an audio podcast.
You guys want to be invited to my next week podcast? It's entirely textual, text-based podcast. It's just a chat log.
It's a chat log that's text to speech and then speech back to text.
Oh.
And then printed and then OCR'd and then Google translated 5 times.
Oh no. I would unironically love to see something like that.
Welcome to Intermission, and here's our next guest, Dr. Sabetso.
Right, and then on to another project that's been taking years in development. Kenzie, you've come out with another Samsara update recently, haven't you?
Yeah, there was a bug fix in the last update for something that was causing console spam in the latest Easy Doom of the time. But that console spam has since been relegated to developer mode, and the fix actually broke more than it fixed. So I had to go back and fix some stuff, and I polished up things, did some other bug fixes while I was there. I think it's pretty solid now, which means it's almost certainly broken in some other way.
But the dreaded ACS, I don't know what love is, error.
It's just one of those things, man. It's practically culture at this point.
Dun, 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 dun. Somebody had to.
I mean, it's an interesting idea at the very least, especially for the sake of debugging, having ACS just check for these sort of things. And then if it's not there, it displays an error. I mean, that's a simple concept. That's a simple idea. It's a bug. Needs to be reported properly, right? Well,
it's when people start using bugs intentionally for cool effects.
Mm-hmm.
Like, certain things should be relegated to developer mode. And I'm thankful that that ended up being one.
Yeah, I think, what was it? The big project that ended up, well, frankly, there's a bunch of issues with it. In the latest dev build, so I don't even know if this one was found out. But the first thing I thought when I read that thread is, okay, DRPG and DRLA are really going to have fun with this.
Oh,
open up the console, 8 billion messages. Because that's the whole point. Is it's checking to see, do these things exist? If not, do this. If so, do that. And
I think they added an ACS command to check if an actor exists in response to this. So you don't have to do like your spawn force tacks.
Mm.
And that's good.
Y'all threw a... fit. I mean, he was angry. He was more than angry. He was livid. And honestly, I can't entirely blame him, considering, yeah, this was one of the ways the check was intentionally circumvented in order to make compatibility with other mods possible. You'd check for an item that was in another mod, and if so, change things in order to accommodate the mod. It was wonderful. It encouraged modders to work together and create things that were compatible for each other, and it also encouraged people to do brutal doom checks.
The best use of checks. Outside of checks, of course.
Of course. I mean, you can't go wrong with Chex Quest. But, I mean, all's fair and fair, all said and done. Now it's relegated to developer mode, and Bob's your uncle.
And Brutal Doom is broken.
Well, yeah, but you know what's new.
Yeah, I mean, that's not exactly news.
Well, it's broken in a way where it doesn't load.
Yeah. Brutal Doom, I mean, this is actually old news, because, yeah, Brutal Doom being broken, that's not exactly anything new and interesting, but the most recent Brutal Doom release actually has an issue where the blood spawning sequence, rather than 0.1, it was replaced with 0.L.
A lowercase L.
A lowercase L, yes.
And the engine didn't really care about that. It just sort of read it as 0, so it didn't even succeed in what it was trying to accomplish. But as of the new stable GZ Doom, it checks for that shit and basically says, nah, this is an error.
Nah, dude.
And Graf apparently told Sergeant Mark about this 9 months in advance, and it's still not fixed.
Mind, I still haven't found a source for that, so I don't know if that's still up in the air or if it's actually true, but...
Well, Graf mentioned the 9 months thing a few times, and if there's one thing he's usually true about, it's about how agitated he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is correct. He spares no details.
A lot of people can be angry with Graf about a lot of things, but if there's one thing he can be counted on for, it's speaking his mind.
Yeah, very true.
And I think the most interesting part of this is Mark's response to this, is that he's not really going to fix the issue until he's done with Brutal Doom 64. And normally, this isn't exactly an especially out there thing. I mean, there's a lot of things, a lot of glitches with our own gameplay mods that we just haven't really gone back to fix, because why bother?
But this is just a very simple find and replace that would probably take like 15 minutes to kick out an update for.
I'm curious, how many, because, well, we all know anybody who's opened up the Brutal Doom source code knows that inheritance doesn't quite exist where it needs to. Is that 0.L show up in more than one place? Because if it's just in one
actor.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, is if it's one, then we're literally talking about a one character fix. You change one byte and it works. So
it's like eight times in a row in one actor or something.
The almost tiniest possible patch then. But
yeah, it's like, I can understand like discarding old projects to work on new ones, but this is a really, really small and really simple fix that would lower his inbox by a big amount. But instead, he's just like packing an old version of GZ Doom in instead.
Well, I was going to say, is it
like, make sense?
Going to pack? Yeah, go ahead and just use this version. I don't know. You know, it's that kind of brings up the whole point. I mean, this dude has a Patreon for his mod. I mean, is there...
Which I've made jokes about for, like, every episode before now.
Hey, it should be worth reminding that, you know, the $1,000 mark for his Patreon is teaching others how to code.
Yeah, spread the plague, God.
Okay, if the $2,000 mark is negating the $1,000 mark, I'll go ahead and raise $1,000 after that right now. Just to stop that from happening.
There's also the matter of, do you honestly think you will actually be finished with Brutal Doom 64?
Is that a thing people really want to see? I don't know.
The thing that worries me about Brutal Doom 64, besides the obvious, is that he's making design decisions on top of the design decisions in the game. Like, he's adding in Revenants, and they're like sprite edits of the final boss from Blood.
Oh,
no. What?
Oh, no. Cancel it. Cancel it all.
And it's a real pity because, like, a straight out-and-out port of Doom 64 to Z-Doom would be really cool to give us, like, a new semi-official map set for gameplay mods to play around in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they, like, turned the 3D floors into real ones, and it just feels like a bit of a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, for all the shit that we give Mark, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to overreact over this occasional jabbing that we give him, that we give more than other people in our fair amounts. The thing is, Brutal Doom 64 by itself, you take Doom 64, you put it to a Z-Doom-based engine, That's pretty cool. I mean, Doom 64 is something a lot of people have been clamoring for. A lot of people want to play Doom 64 on a Z-based engine. And, I mean, there's Kaiser's work on the Doom 64 engine, and that is really, really cool. But the Z-Doom engine, in terms of features, is way ahead. And you could use Kaiser's engine for playing the vanilla game, and then after that, mods? Maps?
They've all been doing some Doom 64 EX maps recently.
Really?
Yeah, a couple of people have been posting, like, work in progress and that. Some of them look pretty cool. Some of them are, like, Doom 3 levels of dark.
Yeah, that's something I kind of wish had taken off a little bit more, although I'm guilty, too, of starting a thing and not finishing it. So, hey, look at me contributing.
The Doom 64 engine has, like, this unique feature of, like, setting different colors on different line edges to, like, blend colors together. On textures, so, and that's something that you can do a lot of cool stuff with.
Oh yeah,
if you're willing to like build for an engine designed for the Nintendo 64.
Yeah, the tricky part for me when it comes to editing is the lighting is just so complex that if you just use regular sector based lighting like you're used to in a Doom 64 map, it doesn't look right. You really do have to sit there and spend the time coloring things and doing stuff, because Doom 64's textures are intentionally very plain in coloring. So it takes a lot to light a map. That's kind of where I started to fumble, is when I started going through some of the earlier parts in my mysterious work in progress and tried to make them look good, because, oh crap, the lighting takes forever. Now, since we're on this topic, and mapping is cool, I guess, one of the coolest things that the Doom 64 engine does is, you start the game, and in map one staging area, you have like these little floating circles beneath the skylight. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool because it's like, oh crap, there's this 3D effect right in front of me. What that is in, so we all know that in the Doom engine, if you have two adjacent sectors with sky on the ceiling and you lower one of them, you know, it just renders it as one sky. So you can use that to kind of fake 3D in the sky, do that.
So it's just a sky trick.
It's the sky trick on steroids. What it is in Doom 64, it renders the geometry behind the sky trick. It doesn't do that in Doom. You know how you can position yourself and get it to where the sky cutoff kind of cuts some lines in the background? In Doom 64, the sky stuff just renders behind it. In fact, the sky trick hack is just telling the engine to render nothing. Like, the sky is just the default background. Instead of HOM, it's sky. So
interesting.
It just bypasses the rendering for that part, and it goes through, and you can do some really cool-ass 3D effects in outdoor areas, of course. I can't really do that indoors. Just by sky hacking your way to victory, it's so fun to work with. And I have to stop myself from going back and opening the editor now because I have so many projects. I can put that one on pause. Because now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh, this sounds fun to mess with again.
We're all looking forward to Doom the way Midway did.
That would be really, really cool.
The way Mid did? There was there was some vague talk like several years ago in Doom Twit about doing some Doom 64 maps in original id style. With the lighting, of course, but that was the idea, is kind of a twitty thing, as if id had made Doom 64.
Oh, that would be interesting.
That never took off, but it was an idea. Also, extremely vague hint, there will be a potentially a Doom 64 map release from a notable mapper very soon in the future. It's not me. my thing's not finished, but it was just talking about, oh, hey, I should release all my stuff. And I'm like, hey, is the Doom 64 map in the pile? And he said, yep. So
awesome. Can't wait to see the release by SL40M, Mechadon, and Vader all working on this one.
Oh, dear. Like, that's the three sides of the eye, the pyramid, right?
Yeah.
The whatever you call the triangle thing?
Yeah, the triforce? No, I don't know.
The Duminati is real.
Yeah, I just realized I don't know what that's called. I'm very cultured.
Meanwhile, Skillsaw just watches from the corner.
Just waiting, biding his time. Hands folded.
Who's the eyeball then?
Probably. I guess, like, maybe Ty Halderman. May he rest in peace.
Secretly watching us from the other side. Yes.
May he rest in
peace.
That's
my new headcanon now.
Yeah. All right. Boy, we went on about Brutal Doom and Doom 64. Moving straight on from that. Next up is what we've been playing recently, and I know we touched a bit on this earlier, but I know Zazer in particular, he's been talking about Shadow Warrior 2 a bit.
Yep, that's short version is I got home yesterday from work and was surprised to see Steam inbox from a friend, Bouncy, was like, hey, here's Shadow Warrior 2, and I'm like, what? So I am a silly person who is really good at losing track of time and news and all that kind of stuff, because I was totally looking forward to the release, and it's October 13th, and I hadn't thought at all about it in the last month. And I get home, and it's like, oh shit, it's release day, and somebody bought it for me, and so I'm playing through it, and I'm like, oh, this is really good. I have not gotten stuck inside any cliffs. I guess I'm not trying hard enough yet. I'll make an effort when I continue the game to launch myself into some geometry, because I feel like I'm just not getting the full experience.
Well, I mean, it's the true build experience, so.
I haven't been killed by any doors yet.
Yet.
Yet, yeah. Gonna leave that. Gotta leave it open.
Yeah, so I've been enjoying it. I've only played like 3 hours worth of the game, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of fun. I was a big fan of the, it's confusing saying the first Shadow Warrior. The first Flying Wild Hog remake Shadow Warrior. Good gosh.
The 2013 one.
Yeah, it's that one. It was really fun. But its biggest flaw is that the gunplay was just awkward. Like, the sword is fucking amazing to use. But I hope swearing is appropriate here.
Absolutely.
Ass clown. I'm going to stop. But yeah, there was something about the game's weapons that they felt too weak, and they were kind of hard to hit enemies with. And it was kind of weird. Like, it has this unusual learning curve for an FPS.
Yeah. And the levels are like twice as long as they should have been.
Yeah. It's partially that, but I feel like they dragged on, not even so much because of the length, but because, you know, they're linear arenas. Like, it did the thing that every first-person shooter does. And Shadow Warrior 2 is mostly linear so far, but there's been a few areas, at least, where you kind of get to pick and choose and go around. So I'm like, okay, this kind
of
gives me some
hope. Sort of open areas.
Yeah, I haven't quite seen, like, a Doom 4 Foundry just yet, in terms of overall go wherever. But I'm still early in the game. And
one of the first story missions sort of was, like, where you're trying to find the crystals and the animal skin and that.
That's very open.
I was doing a lot of, like, dash jumping around that at great speeds.
Yeah, so that did impress me. The first Shadow Hills level gave me a pretty good feeling. So, I think that's great, because that's something I've waxed on about, like, in posts and other random places a whole lot, is... one thing that's just kind of been absent from FPS, aside from like the RPG-ish things like Deus Ex, is nobody builds non-linearity into their levels anymore. And there's nothing wrong with being linear. It just sucks when that's the only thing that exists. That's kind of why I don't really care too much for the realistic military-ish shooters, is because, well, they're kind of almost the only thing that exists gameplay style-wise. And it's great because 2016 has been challenging that. I'm a big fan of the new Doom, and then you got Shadow Warrior 2, and got to play a little bit of sneak preview of some 2017 stuff, Strafe and Dusk, and it's really cool, because this idea of a retro FPS that's actually starting to correctly hit the mark, as opposed to, like, well, on the topic of Flying Wild Hog, Hard Reset, which completely missed it in my mind, it's really cool to see people getting it right.
One of the things about Shadow Warrior 2 that has pleased me so far, and you mentioned of Strafe, reminded me of this, one of the big boogeymans that people were worried about in the lead up to Shadow Warrior 2's release was the procedurally generated levels, since they mentioned that in, like, the promotional stuff and didn't really elaborate on that too much. So people are like, oh God, oh God. But it's handled really well. It's only used for, like, the side quests.
Yeah.
And it's piecing together levels out of chunks, like with the original XCOM or with XCOM 2. Just like taking these templates and, like, gluing in new buildings and swapping the layout around. Just creating this interesting new environment for just these repeatable side quests.
Well, as a person who's only gotten 3 hours in the game, one thing that's cool that I get to fire back is I didn't even notice. I haven't noticed
that.
Yeah,
I know. Works really well.
Yeah, it's a good sign then. Yeah, I've gotten kind of burned out on procedural generation just because it's been done so many times.
And so many people use it as a crutch for good level design.
It works great for stuff that, like your Minecrafts and your Terrarias and games in that style. Well, yeah, it fits perfectly, but you're right. Whenever it's used, like Ziggurat, cool looking game. I've just never been tempted to pick it up because I know that it just kind of doesn't, that style level design doesn't really appeal to me. It's, you know, generated. It's just
going to be just rooms
and stuff. And then you have stuff like Devil Daggers, which has no level design, literally. It's blank, which is kind of cool for what it is, but still, it's kind of like, oh gosh, where's the focus on the...
Yeah, Devil Daggers is more of a Robotron sort of thing than a proper retro FPS sort of thing, which is cool in some ways because it's nice to have a different take on the whole dual stick shooter sort of thing. But on the other hand, it's also a crying shame because the aesthetics on it! Just having... It's the sort of thing that feels like it needs more of a world built around it to run and jump and rocket jump around. And
yeah,
that's what I'm hoping to get out of Dusk. So I don't know if we want to shift our conversation that way, but that's the thing that's on my horizon.
Oh, we have already said a lot about Dusk. And oh, yeah, Kenzie, too, I suppose. Don't know about Marty, but we are really, really looking forward to Dusk. I am excited.
Just for the sake of like throwing my two cents in the fairly large pile, I guess, is...
Well, you've played it.
Sure did. There we go. And it spoiled my thing I was going to say. Yeah, I got a little bit of a chance to play it at QuakeCon, and no, it is fun as hell. Like, it's funny because the thing that a lot of people do point out is it's pretty ugly. I mean, it does look like the uglier end of 90s shooters.
Looks
I think
like
it
a
does
Quake
it
mod.
Kind of a... It does. Somebody brought up Track, I think, and I'm like, okay, that's very on point.
Yeah.
But it does it charmingly. Like it. I've talked to the developer, David. He's got his head is firmly screwed on his shoulders. He's played like the old classics. He knows his stuff. He was calling out Blood and Shadow Warrior and all these cool games. And I'm like, this is cool. Like we had a really good conversation. And he was a genuine dude that didn't have any of the airheaded indie developerness. You know that whole thing. So yeah. It's so easy to claim, oh, we're doing all this awesome stuff, we're gonna make it old school, and then, you know, have somebody just talk about it, as opposed to, oh my gosh, this guy's actually doing it. Like that's what I almost walked by the game. In fact, I did. I saw it and I was like, oh, I guess somebody's doing so, that looks kind of ugly. And I passed by it, and it was Matt Troppiano. He was there at QuakeCon, and we were there in the BYOC.
He just pulled
you back
with a cane and was like, hey, no, look at this.
That's exactly what he did. He was like, have you played Dusk yet? And I'm like, oh, I passed by it. And he was like, you need to play Dusk. And I said, okay. And I sat down and got through like 17 waves. I was actually on a pretty good streak. I got second place. And there's one guy in front of me who did something ungodly, like 30 waves, and ended up taking the prize. They were doing a little giveaway thing. I'm like, darn it. But it was a lot of fun. Like it's fast. You run around. Like the movement felt so quakey in a good way. Mm-hmm. Quakey is in the game, not as in, oh my God, I'm fisting around everywhere. So one thing I do want to point out, because I thought this was really amusing, is all right. So slight background. There was this goofy game Retro Blazer that was being touted around a few years ago.
Oh man, Retro Blazer.
I remember that.
Yeah, it
Quake
it looks...
with Sprites and Furries.
Yeah, the furry game. There you go. That's what everybody remembers. Okay.
And the Mega Man X sound effects.
I remember the Wolfenstein level design. I mean, yeah, I wanted to like Retro Blazer.
I remember the failed Kickstarter.
Aw, sad. But yeah, it had a fantastic art style, and it looked like it had a really cool thing going for it, but the level design was just flat as hell. I mean, they intentionally went for the Wolfenstein-style maze level design, and... It felt like lost potential. So here's the funny thing about Dusk. They had like an endless mode, which I played, just a horde mode in a very basic map. And Matt got to play one of the single player levels, the one they had done. And it's funny because it starts you in this underground maze, like this Wolfenstein-esque maze. And you wander around for a little bit and shoot a couple of guys. And then you climb up a ladder, and then you're in a house, and you walk outside in this big open area, and it's got like the trees and the sky and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, all right, now you're in the actual level. And it was, I don't know if this was intended or not, but I thought it was funny as hell because it seemed to me like he was going, oh, look, here's all this old school, stupid Wolfenstein level. Just, I gotcha. Here's the real map.
You got to be careful with things like that. If you look at how Serious Sam 3 started, it tried to be this parody of the whole modern FPS thing, But it sort of went on too long, and it sort of turned people off before it actually started getting into what the game does best.
Yeah, it did. It does take a really slow start. Like, I don't mind Serious Sam 3's early, but having played it a few times, it takes you got to get about a third of the way into the game before it actually starts getting Sammy. Mm-hmm. So people who are expecting Serious Sam from it have to wait a bit. At least here, like, the underground segment is like a minute max. Like, it's a really short thing, and then you get out and it continues. And from what I'm understanding, that's not even going to be the first map officially. It's just the first one they did. Yeah. Like, So there's going to be a different E1M1, I believe. But I have no idea if that was intentional. It's just that was the thing I kind of saw, and I thought it was really funny because I thought, look, he's doing the Retro Blazer thing. Well, he's not. Oh, look, it's real level design. Because that was the thing that caught my like, I played it. It was a lot of fun. And then was pleasantly surprised to hear that one of the big focuses of Dusk is an actual single-player campaign with real maps, not just procedural generated stuff. Like, yeah, there's the endless mode and all that, but that's not the core game.
Yeah.
It's a game with level design.
It also, whole hanging their hat on actual level design by actual human beings sort of thing. It's promising, but it's also concerning in a way because it also hangs its hat entirely on the guy's level design skills.
It is true. I'm liking what I'm seeing from screenshots, but well, you've got layouts, you got traps. There's lots of stuff that goes into a map. Does this look cool? So
I guess we'll just see how that goes.
Hope so. Fingers crossed.
Man, it's like two podcasts in a row where we've talked about just Dusk and just constantly marketing it up. Man, if this keeps on going, they're going to have to pay us.
Oops.
Well, I'm looking forward to No Man's Quake.
All right. And boy, we've been leaving poor Marty out into the darkness. And
Oh, hello.
Yes.
It's me, Marty. I'm here.
How about you, Marty? What sort of retro FPS stuff have you been playing? Or rather, quote-unquote, retro FPS stuff?
Oh, wow. A lot. I've been playing quite a few. We already talked a little bit about No End in Sight, which I was really excited because somehow I missed it. I guess maybe I didn't see it because that's No End in Sight. So being able to check that out and being just really surprised, it didn't, like, zero expectations. I'm like, what is it? What does it do? What could it be? And just, like, really interesting level design that's, like, kind of evokes, like, a really classic sort of feel, but also not like, you know, here are some areas we copy-pasted from E1. It's just, like, really nice, genuine level design, and I'm really just taken aback by it. So playing a lot of that, playing a lot of Johnny Doom, that came out only as of, you know, recording this podcast, only came out yesterday. Was that today, I think, technically?
Oh, boy. Back to the subject of Brutal Doom and spinoffs.
Yeah, it's weird. I haven't really played a lot of Brutal Doom, so I just shrug. So it's kind of all just new. It's like, oh, it's a new, brand new thingy. But I'm having a lot of fun. A lot of cool design decisions I personally enjoy. You know, a little rough around the edges at some points, but I think, you know, that's kind of, when you're working on something like that, I mean, that's especially with given the base, you know, there's always going to be that kind of weirdness, and hopefully Johnny, you know, takes that feedback into account.
Yeah. If there's one thing that can really, really be said in Brutal Doom's favor, it's that it spawned like so many offshoots, so many spinoffs, so many takes that there's always going to be something for everyone to play.
Yeah.
For better or worse.
Absolutely. It's kind of weird. I mean, it's like, not to get too heavily back into the subject, but I mean, it's kind of cool how it's been maybe kind of the gateway mod. Remember, earlier on, it was just like, there are just these people coming in playing Brutal Doom, but I know I see a lot more people who played it and then now are just doing other things. They're like, oh, and then I played Russian Overkill and that's my thing now. So it's pretty neat. Back in the day, we didn't really have anything like that. So it's pretty legit. Mm-hmm. Besides that, I mean, not a whole lot, you know, mostly playing what these guys put out because they're like the only guys I talk to ever, I guess.
I think probably the one of the things about Brutal Doom Johnny is that there was actually a little bit of a fuss when it came out. And by a little bit, I mean like really little bit. Shivers and I were playing it. This is actually Marty's first time playing Johnny Doom, so he's only just now discovering the true beauty that is Johnny Doom.
Yep.
But we were playing it for the first time, and it was like, what the hell? What happened? It's slower. It's sluggish. What the hell did you do, Johnny? We kind of made note in the thread about it, and Johnny actually came to 4chan. He came to the regular Doom thread, where I kind of like to hang around, post in a lot, and we had a little bit of a discussion, and it turns out probably the cause of the sluggishness, we opened up the ACS file, and or rather the ACS folder, and there are 34 different individual script sets.
Here, if you get 100, then you unlock an achievement.
34 friggin' ACS!
If you auto-load 100 ACS files, you get an extra life.
And several of them have the same name, so they were being loaded multiple times. I was like, well, no friggin' wonder it's sluggish. Z-Doom is probably choking on itself.
I think...
I know all in individual WAD files in a PK3.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, I haven't really followed, Johnny's stuff, I haven't really followed Johnny's stuff too much, you know, so I don't know if he's worked on anything besides this, but I mean, yeah, you know, seeing that, it looks like he's definitely learning as he goes.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're working with something, when you're working with the base that he's working with, I think you definitely get a really skewed version of how things are supposed to be, But I mean, that's, you know, the growing pains of being in kind of our position, I guess, when you're content creating for Doom it's that those weird oddities, like load a bunch of ACS files, I guess, because that's a thing. Is that bad? I don't know. Hope somebody tells me.
Yeah. And that is one. I like Johnny. He really is learning and he's enthusiastic about it. And that's really, really good. But I think probably the best thing is that he's really open and receptive to criticism and feedback. And yeah, Johnny Doom is technically his first mod. So it's really cool just seeing...
He's really going big for the start, and the fact that he's actually like receptive to feedback that's not positive is really something that a lot of modders... It's something that's becoming a bit of a dying art, sadly.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, especially with... my forte, finally. I mean, especially with how gameplay mods are nowadays anyways, you know, you kind of come out with like, you got this cool gimmick or, you know, this thing that your mod's centered around for the most part, to really stand out from the crowd. And then, you know, you put that out there and then, you know, if people are like, oh, why do I got to do this? I don't understand why these enemies are dropping coins. What's this all about? It's really easy, I think, for a lot of, you know, newer people to just be like, well, it's my thing and I'm sticking by it.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's one of those things where taking criticism non-personally is something that you sort of have to learn.
Mm.
And it's difficult at first. So a lot of people who start making mods, not necessarily for Doom, but mods in general, will make something and then someone will not like it, and they'll take that as an attack on themselves. And this is something that's really common in, like, the Bethesda modding scenes, like Elder Scrolls and Fallout.
Oh, God.
Where, like, not voting something 5 stars can actually get you banned from some major mod sites.
Or the infamous Chronicle of Gate.
Oh, God.
How many people are going to get that reference?
I didn't. So.
I don't know what's going on, but my brain is... Hold on. Infinite recursion, give me a moment.
We'll tell you later.
Oh, the Chronicle of Gate is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's like... I mean, well, we're all kind of know there. I mean, a lot of the times when you're working on some of this stuff, I mean, a lot of it's kind of internalized a little bit, you know, as far as actually developing it, and you come up with something really cool and you're tinkering around with it and you finally show it off, and then you kind of get like, you're hoping that like, you just bust through the wall like the Kool-Aid man, but instead you kind of threw like a wet sponge at the wall. You're like, I don't really know if that's a cool thing. That's something that's really hard, I think, for a lot of people to get used to, is just like, the feedback.
And that's why I think Dump was a positive force, because it encouraged people to just get out there, throw something out there, learn from it. It's not going to be great, but you'll learn something from it and you'll be able to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think putting together that environment of it's okay to fuck up, just sort of go with it, just sort of, it created a positive learning environment, I think.
Yeah.
That being said, Dump's probably going to have to be super different next time because, Jesus Christ, man, 80 maps.
120 fucking submissions. 120!
Hey, Joel from Vinesauce wants to speak with you.
Yeah, he hasn't streamed anymore. I don't blame him.
Yeah,
doesn't he have like health problems or something?
He was out for a little bit. So.
Ah, shit! Really? That was dark of me. I'm sorry.
I think the thing that I really like about Dump, and especially when we're talking, you know, just looking at just the Zetum forums, is that, you know, unless you're kind of quote unquote a name, or, you know, you've got something under your belt that people already like, you know, getting feedback on things and getting people to play your stuff in the first place is really, really hard. And I think what I enjoy about Dump, that I haven't participated in at all, but have definitely watched other people do it, is that, you know, you get to be a part of something and you get that feedback where people are bouncing back because they're also working on stuff. So it's really inviting. And I think that's what's really attractive about it. I mean, you guys have probably seen, you know, tons of, you know, hundreds of posts for people like, hey, here's my map. And you get three replies and then it's off in the abyss forever. So, yeah, and it's really cool that Dump is giving at least, you know, at least people a chance to get that feedback and then, you know, also be a part of something cool as well.
I have sort of a question on that because this is good timing. I was having this thought earlier in the day when I was browsing around in forum land. Yep. But so I do think Dump is really friggin' cool. And it's kind of a thought I have towards it, and I want to know, is this a natural thing, or is it just like a weird idea I have in my head? So Dump isn't the only project that is doing this kind of thing. So Nova's the other series that is aimed towards new mappers kind of coming in and stuff. It's a little bit more focused. It is kind of a specific, hey, join us if you're kind of new to mapping, we'll help you out kind of thing. So I think they do a really cool thing over there. But the other thing, like the most direct analog to what Dump is the Doomworld Mega Project, which is that one where the rule is anything is accepted, asterisk except Terry Wads. And that's an interesting one to compare it to because the founding philosophies of the project are so different. So Dump is kind of, hey, folks that don't normally map, make some maps, do some awesome stuff. Doomworld Mega Project was kind of a, at least my interpretation of it is, it was kind of like an FU to the idea of the big names releasing all this stuff. Like, there are a lot of projects going on, lots of quality control. There was, you know, little bits of drama here and there in various projects because stuff, you
and
know,
it takes
the whole
years
TNT2
to come
thing.
Out.
Yeah, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so Doomworld Mega Project is kind of like a protest where it's like, hey, you know what, screw it, just submit stuff. It doesn't matter. It's going to be accepted. Here you go. But there's one thing about that, and I want to know, does anybody else agree? Please disagree with me if you do, because I would like to shatter this illusion if it is indeed an illusion. Is I've always kind of had a negative view towards Doomworld Mega Project because it seems like because of that founding philosophy that it disinvites criticism. Like, the whole idea is submit it and it'll be accepted, no worries. No, like, it doesn't, it feels kind of by that nature that you aren't supposed to, quote unquote, criticize maps in the set, constructive or not, whereas Dump is very clearly, hey guys, let's get better at mapping, let's do this shit. So I don't know. It's weird because we have two projects where you kind of have the same idea of just make stuff. We're going to put it in a project. And yet, at least from my own perspective, they have very, very different, like one is kind of negative and one's kind of positive. Is that a thing? Does that idea ring in anybody else's head, or do you guys even know or care? Or I'm just curious if that's a me thing.
I haven't looked at the Doomworld Mega Project myself, but it sort of feels like it sort of feels like a big cost of just throw maps at us, will tell you when to stop. it's sort of like assembling work without really looking at it beyond, like, does it follow this one simple rule? And
yeah.
While Dump had, like, the vaguest level of quality control, but it had it, and it also had a lot of invited a lot of discussion to try and get more, like, fix bugs, improve issues, that sort of thing. It felt like it was more collaborative than what you were describing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Kinsey in that I don't. I'm this is the first time I'm hearing about this elusive mega project. But I think that sort of format is kind of dangerous, especially for people who are just starting mapping, because especially when you're starting, the thing that you need and, you know, hopefully want most is feedback. So, you know, if it's like, yeah, great first map, and you're like, all right, here it is, put it in the pile. You know, I think every experience, you know, be it mapping, working on gameplay mods, whatever it is that you do, should be continually building up and learning from your prior experiences. And with Dump, I think that's what I saw a lot of in the thread, where even, you know, just people going back and forth between each other, like, yeah, this is kind of fucked up. Like, did you mean it? This map is weird. Did you try? Like, so even having that just like really small semblance of quality control, I think helps. And I think other people, you know, with how, you know, how Dump is set up anyway, you know, other people take a look at that and they want to be proud of that project that they're in. So they're going to push other people to be, you know, do the best that they do. And, you know, so nobody wants to just play like, oh, great, it's 94 WADs, like 94 maps. Great. This is fun. So being a part of something like that, I think, is really important to even the mappers in it. And that's what I feel about Dump. I don't know about the other project.
I will admit I'm not terribly familiar with the Doom World mega project. I think I participated in 2013. Me and Ejon both started working on map stuff. I started what eventually became the Shores of Heck for Dump 2. And Ejon made a map called Futility, which was very interesting. A Z-Doom-based survival map where the more you kill enemies, the more enemies spawn in to kill you, which is a very interesting take. But one thing that stuck out to me after I signed up was a discussion of the origin of the Doom World megaproject. And one thing that rings to me to this day is how Doom World megaproject 2012, of course, the legendary year, it started with, I could have picked random WADs from id Games and then combined them in a Mega WAD, and it would be exactly the same thing as this project. And that was the start of Doom World Mega Project in order to prove that point. And, I mean, I really don't want to speak ill of a project that I really know nothing about, but when the goal of your community pack is specifically to spite another community pack, then that kind of sets an ill mindset from the get-go.
Mm.
Dump is kind of contrarian in that it's a community pack primarily focused on Z-Doom rather than Boom. Because, I mean, Boom community map packs, those are pretty much the standard nowadays. I mean, everyone does a Boom community map pack, and a lot of them are even good.
Every once in a while, here you've got people manage to not fuck up.
Yeah, most recent example being, like, well, not the most recent example. Actually, technically, Aliens, Ancient Aliens, count as a community map pack, considering how many guest mappers were involved.
Yeah, I think that'd be fair.
I would call it that. It's sort of private community because it's kind of an invite thing, but it started with Skillsoft screwing around and then inviting a bunch of people. It was kind of like IRC community, so, which is funny because if you want to call that the Doominati or the oligarchy or whatever, sure, I guess. But
the Doom World Order.
Well,
basically, the Doom community is splitting apart into a pile of small oligarchies ruled over by warlords. It's becoming Russia.
I mean, obviously, like, comparing Dump to something like Ancient Aliens, that's, I mean, kind of like comparing a Twix snack bar to maybe a gourmet feast, but the point is, those projects were made specifically because of the love of the art. Dump was made because, one thing, I really, really like mapping. I want to get better at mapping. Everybody, we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. Let's make it anyway. And the Doom World Mega Project, on the other hand, it's specifically made to spite another project, and it's just a big old jumble of piling everything in. And I think that simple mindset makes all the difference. You got one project, the goal is to get better. And you got another project, the goal is to shit on another project.
Yeah, so again, that's the shitting on the other project part is my own viewpoint. I hope it's wrong, because, you know, it would suck. So, you know, feel free to refute all the good stuff. Tell me how stupid my opinion is.
Citation needed.
I feel really, 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 really bad talking ill about a project I have signed up once for and did not really do anything for. I feel like really, really bad.
Because it certainly isn't that anymore. It's kind of how it started. It was kind of the genesis behind it. At least that was everybody's interpretation of it. You know, if it wasn't, it was probably just poorly timed. I don't know. But it still kind of has this difference in mindset. If it doesn't exist, then that's great. But I'm going to back off of that for just a sec, because what I really want to do instead is say, I think it's super awesome that Dump and lately Jimmy's Joy of Mapping, like there's this new focus towards, hey, folks that don't usually map, let's get into it. Let's do some real constructive criticism. It's not the idea of a mapping safe space where you can just kind of throw stuff in and it gets accepted. It's more of, let's get better together. It's this cool push that hasn't really, well, I'm sure it's existed. I mean, Nova, you know, is a several years old series. So they're kind of the pioneers of that kind of thing there, but it's not something that traditionally you've seen in the community, is this kind of collaboratively focused, let's get better at a thing. I mean, it's always just been a group of, well, not a group, a bunch of individual trailblazers who just somehow figured out how to do stuff and then at some point got good at it by themselves. And A, that doesn't work for everybody. B, if you're good at one thing, you don't want to branch out the thing. B, how the heck do you do that? Well, you do this, you collaborate. So there's so much talent in the community. It's great that it's starting to get shared.
I just want to point out real quick, one thing that really, really worries me about the Dump format, though, is that I fear sometimes people outside of the Dump group are being a little too easy on the results, because Dump 2, Dump 3, it gets a release, it gets spread out into the wild, and people are really, really liking it, really liking it, really liking it, and we're not actually getting a lot of criticism on how to fix things.
I think for me just playing through, it's really overwhelming. I mean, it's just like you have so many maps to go through, and I'm wandering through, you know, the hub map, this beautiful, gorgeous hub map, and going through and I'm like, oh, what am I gonna play? So it's like you can't really. I feel like if you were to direct any criticism at Dump, I mean, it'd have to be at the individual components therein. And so that's what's kind of the hard about it. After it's out, you know, how do you get that feedback? I feel like a lot of the important feedback, as far as even the, you know, the maps in there, are really just when it's actually being worked on and developed and stuff. But one thing Zazer was talking about there that I wanted to point out is definitely like, it feels like there's kind of like you must be this tall to submit a map. I mean, that's what I think it's great about Dump and, you know, things like that is that, I mean, it's kind of that invitation to like, hey, you know, like you guys are saying, like, let's get better at this. Like, let's make a map, guys, and we'll help you make it a good map or the best map you can possibly make. Because when you're just a dude and you're just like, hey, here's my first map. I mean, even for me, I'm just like, I don't want to play somebody's first map. it's just to be your first release map and secretly your 15th like map that you've worked on. But, you know, in the Dump format, you're like, oh, cool. Yeah, let's check this out. So you run into a lot of like, oh, this is weird. But you run into a lot of cool stuff, people trying stuff. It's really neat.
Yeah, one thing that's interesting to think about from the flip side of it is I'm some dude who's been in the community for well over a decade now. And it's hard to give criticism a lot of times to things from folks who are brand new because the perspective is so different. It's, I don't know, the way I kind of think of myself is if I was the proverbial professor, I would be the guy teaching the advanced courses, not the intro ones. So I want to give feedback on a lot of these things, but I don't know. I don't really know how. This is kind of my little confession booth of the moment is... It's difficult to do that a lot of times. So I feel like like, there's certain folks in the community who are really good at it. I mean, Jimmy's kind of started taking that up with Joy Mapping and doing some things. I don't know if singling him out is, you know, fair or not. Like, hey, look, here's some attention, mister. but I don't know. I'm one of those goofballs who, it's hard. I guess I'm too picky. I'm a jerk about things. So,
you know, this is why I'm glad you specifically here, Zazar, are here, because we've been in this for a long time, you and I. yeah, especially kind of connecting it back to Dump. I mean, this time around we had weapons, which is like, whoa. Especially, man, working on I'm super picky when it comes to weapons and stuff like that, because I mean, you know, just like you're saying, I mean, we've been here for a while. We've seen a lot of stuff.
Say it one more time. Say it for old time's sake.
Kept waiting, huh? But you know, like it's like, so it's so cool to have that element where, because I mean, for me, from like my whole passion, how I got into this thing was, you know, making graphics for Wild Weasel weapon mods and being a part of that, and you know, seeing things gradually build up. So, you know, I have this like standard. I'm like, ah, well, I've, you know, seen this. So, you know, going back and like trying to, you know, that initial like, hey, you know, I think you need to tweak this or, you know, whatever. You know, it's definitely really hard, especially for people who are just starting out. I struggle with that. I wish I can give more feedback. I mean, it's definitely something. But yeah, dump weapons, though. What a concept. What a fun.
What a weird journey that's been.
What a thing that's never going to return ever again.
it should. I think, I don't know. I enjoyed it. There's a lot of weird stuff. You're just like, I wonder what they were trying to do. But I think there needs to be more of that. That like, Zazer, I mean, I'm sure Zazer can tell you. I mean, back in the day, I felt like we were kind of just throwing bricks at the wall and hoping something sticked. Just, let's try reloading. Can you make reloading guns in Doom? We're going to attempt just jump plus 63.
Like, oh, God.
And then Zazer came out with Zen Dynamics and changed the entire scene forever.
I'm the guilty party.
It's all
your patient zero.
I'm sorry. Oh, dear. So Zin's amusing because just if anybody, for some reason, if you have a lot of studying to do and you want to not sleep at all tonight, open up Zin Dynamics and go to the code for the Ego Smasher shotgun.
Oh my god!
For the next several weeks.
You couldn't jump to state labels. It had to be, you know, plus 63 or, you know, plus whatever. Oh man. But it was so cool seeing all that stuff develop.
I'm gonna butt in here. I mean, I don't care who I'm interrupting. I'm gonna butt in here. Zazer, love you to death. My biggest inspiration for getting in the scene. So happy to talk to you right now. Fuck the Ego Smasher. Fuck it hard. I tried to mess with that thing when I was first getting started modding. And
why
you
would you do that? No, why not? Because I really like this motor vehicle thing. Oh, the Pinto looks...
I'm going to pull out this pin here and see what... Oh, dear.
Oh, man.
Oh, dear.
What else? What are some silly analogies?
That's a load-bearing jump.
No, but I mean, I feel like Zane, you probably have, like, the best perspective, but it wasn't, you know, especially, like, in the weapon mod done. I mean, we were looking at stuff, like, Every new mod was something you know, different. Something different we were, you know,
what was it in Weapon Mod Dawn? It was the whole Edge thing before that.
Yeah, Edge.
You just could probably talk a bit more about that if he wasn't, like, dead in a ditch at the moment.
Yeah, like, when that happens.
As much as, you know, the Patient Zero comment is fun, if there's anybody who's real Patient Zero when it comes to Doom weapon modding, it's Corey Whittle. Like, friggin' Immoral Conduct is
the
genesis of everything. Like,
he's
I would be hard-pressed to make... I doubt of all of us original weapon modders back in the day, I severely doubt any of the influential ones can claim that they weren't inspired by Immoral Conduct, because like myself, Weasel, Marty a little bit later, like we everything stemmed from that. That when I played that mod, that was like the thing that, you know, I was like 11 or 12 at the time, so you know, take this with a grain of salt. That was the thing that changed my opinion on what you can do with Doom. Was I was like, holy shit, this is a new game. This is completely 100% different. And that's what kindled my interest. So if that mod didn't exist, you know, we may be looking at a completely different scape. Or maybe somebody else would have done, you know, the same thing, and that would be Patient Zero. But, you know, we can pretend for a second that maybe there's some alternate universe or weapon mods are not a big thing because of Mortal Kombat.
An alternate universe where everything was inspired by Twilight Warrior instead.
Oh, no!
That one.
Oh. Man,
I remember, so Twilight Warrior was funny because it was mentioned offhand in some, like, text files of mods. And it wasn't until like several years after I had started modding that I finally was like, oh, I need to check out the Twilight Warrior thing. And I picked it up and I'm like, what the shit? What the hell is this garbage?
Yeah.
It was a really primitive attempt at doing something that's really popular today. Like with the Navy SEALs mod for Quake.
It was just so rough.
Counter-Strike.
Yeah, which you know, yeah, once Counter-Strike hit, hey, there's another Patient Zero right there. But dang, it was just, the level, it was... Compared to Immoral Conduct, which is this nicely polished gem, Immoral Conduct is just so... Sorry, hold on. Twilight Warrior was so rough. It was, I don't know, like all the weapon functions. It was clear they were just kind of trying to figure out how to do stuff, and I was kind of in that mode where I knew enough about modding that I thought I was like, oh, that's so silly they did it this way. So I'm sure a lot of that's tainted by me being just barely climbing up on the horse and thinking it's really high.
This is one tall Shetland pony.
No, it's really crazy. Like now that you mentioned it, I mean, I feel like, you know, you go back and play Immoral Conduct, it would still hold up today. It was so solid, and all those. It's funny to think that there was a time where it's like something like, man, you know, all your weapons should have universal hands. Like that was a foreign thing for a while. It just felt like, well, if you grabbed it from here, then you just leave it with the hands you got it with, and that's it. It's like, wait, you can edit the graphics further to place the protagonist's hands on it. So many things just came out of that. I mean, It's crazy.
Edit the graphics? Why would I do that? There's already, it looks like a gun. We're good. It's a different gun than I used in my last show.
I already ripped them from Duke Nukem 3D.
Okay, guys, I want you to tell you about my idea for a new mod. Okay, so the fist is going to be the Realm 667 knife by Scuba Steve, and then the shotgun is going to be the Duke shotgun, and the chain gun is going to be the Shadow Warrior Uzi, and then the super shotgun, it's going to be an edit of the Blood Tommy gun.
Oh, no, I remember last time you were pitching this, because I think the chain gun, it was a mix between either the Shadow Warrior Riot Gun or the fucking 3D chain guns.
Those goddamn 3D chain guns. I knew that was going to come up. Oh, dear Lord. Where are those even from?
The BFG would be a model rip of the Half-Life Gauss gun.
Yep.
That's... Cut off at the edges for widescreen.
Oh, like, call it something like the perfect mod, only swap the C and the T. The perfect mod. Is my contribution.
There we go. Excellent.
Comfy Doom, gameplay edition.
Ugh. Oh, man.
Just Moral Conduct.
The 3D.
Well, I guess I know what I'm doing for April Fool's.
Oh, man. Please do. That'd be great.
Or maybe for Halloween.
Moral Conduct.
Got Mein Kampf duct.
Oh,
Mein Kampf. But the reason I brought
God
that
when
up
achieved.
Is, yeah, God.
God when achieved.
Well, I just think it's really cool because, you know, a lot of us, you know, got our start from looking at other people's stuff, and then you have to figure stuff out. Like Term was saying, it's like, all right, to have a project, which I guess kind of like the Weapon Resource WoD back in the day was kind of like that, but not really. Yeah. But like people are just like, I'm learning to make a gun. How do I do that? So maybe like its own separate project that's not part of, like, Dump the Fourth or, you know, whatever, like something else, you know, maybe give Term a break so he can actually get a full night's worth of sleep, like somebody else spearheads it. But I think that would be really cool to do something like that again, as I feel like a lot of that stuff is mysterious, you know. I come from a time when there weren't tutorials. It was just opening stuff up and looking, being like, okay.
I had that feeling recently. Someone reported a bug in Samsara with the Duke weapons, and I'm like, okay, I'll have a look. And I open up the file, and holy fucking hell.
I am so sorry, Kenzie.
The dupe weapons in Samsara, for those who aren't familiar, they have firing and the alternate fire Mighty Boot working separately, so it can fire and kick at the same time. And it was programmed for Zedum 212, so oh, a very old version of Zedum.
And oh, it's original synth fire. Oh, God. And this is also my fault, isn't it?
And the person who programmed it was apparently... I'm not going to name any names, but I've heard rumors that they were dabbling in substances, and the end result is code that is utterly unmaintainable.
And Zazer, I have something to comfort you. It is not, in fact, original Synthfire. It is actually worse. What it is a separate state for every single individual frame of every single animation. I think you can see where this is going.
Damn it. I wish it was my fault. I would rather take the blame than hear this is a thing.
Yeah, oh my God.
I would rather fall on this sword than stare this other thing in the eye. Like, this is Cthulhu levels of... I'm really sorry. In all fairness, though, you did zing me out, so this is my contribution back to the zing pile.
Beauty. I accept it happily. Boy, we got, like, real off topic off the subject of Marty playing Johnny Doom, though. Wow.
Damn.
Yeah, so...
But I think it was for the better than just me going, so I've been playing...
You guys play some Doom? It's great. Hey, guys.
All right. Making a very, very shaky attempt to steer things back on this railroad, we then jump to our next usual roundtable of discussion, the stuff we are currently working on. And I'm afraid I'm going to have to take my leave of silence on that, because I just released what I was working on, and we've discussed that well and all to death. So, how about you, Marty? What are you working on?
Hey guys, I'm Marty Cairo. You might know me from the internet. I'm working on the Space Pirate mod that's apparently been in development since 2013. Which
this is not an advertisement spiel.
Yeah, you can
talk about the stuff you've been doing.
You can play it on your favorite play. So I've been. Working on shooting people with guns in game, and trying to make that fun, as well as punching people with fists and sometimes guns. Mm-hmm. That's my Doom stuff. I'm also working on a new version of me and Wild Weasel's project, Agent Diaz.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I didn't
so
know about that. I'm amped.
Yes. I'm.
Diaz was the shit.
Yeah, it's the one that nearly killed me. It's great. But yeah, I'm doing that kind of on the side, some nice cleanup stuff. But yeah, that's about it. I'm also procrastinating on all the things I just mentioned constantly.
I could be working on this stuff, or I could be talking with other people about opinions I have on Doom things.
I would do that.
What about you, Kenzie?
So I just pushed out the latest version of Samsara, which fixes a whole bunch of bugs so that people will not play it on Zanjurnum because Complex Doom is out.
No.
But now that I've done that, I'm sort of looking towards getting back into Meta Doom.
Mm-hmm.
I've been taking a break from it for a little while and sort of planning out what I'm going to do next. Because the next monster that I really want to focus on is the Cyberdemon. And I have some ideas on what to do to sort of mix him up from the original Doom Cyberdemon AI. Just sort of blending in some new abilities from the Doom 4 Cyberdemon. But...
Well, the obvious answer for that is to make him like the Doom 3 Cyberdemon.
only vulnerable to the Soul Cube.
Can he be only vulnerable to the Holy Water Pistol?
Just to really piss off those people who really did not like that weapon.
It's not
scale 10.0.
So I'm sort of planning it like what sprites do I have to edit for this, etc., etc. And I've also got the sounds done for the Unmaker.
Nice.
Ooh.
Which should be interesting. Sort of planning out how that's going to be done. Haven't done any sprites yet, but that'll come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Zazer? What have you been working on?
Oh, well, dear.
Let me pare down the question. What haven't you been working on?
That is a very better question. All right. Let's see. What do I have lined up that I have... All right, so No One in Sight at least isn't beta phase. Now, there's some known bugs and fixes that I got to get around to, don't we all? But at the very least, there's something public for that. Unwinding the stack from things I was working on before No One in Sight cropped up, we've got Adventures of Square, my map for the Vinesauce project, which I'm still technically working on post-processing, and then I have Argent, and then I have... Airy Guns, Necrodoom, and Psychic still technically unreleased. And then I have TNT 2, and then I have... What else is on this list?
Opens 5 gigabyte text file.
Doom 2 the way it did. Lost Episodes, that's a thing. Back to Saturn X, Episode 3. Dead City, which I have not even announced. A Doom 64 map. A map from an old project that accidentally got resurrected today that I have... the editor right now. That's the thing I'm working on that I'm not supposed to be working on. And scrolling up, a whole bunch of vaporware. All right, great.
A whole bunch of vaporwave. Cool. Looking forward to it.
Cool. Yeah.
I'm just going to take all of my old maps and pitch them down a few steps. How would that work? Like, what would be the analogy? Like, what would a vaporwaved version of E1M1 look like?
I'm assuming... One thing that can be said about Vaporwave, it's that it's got really unique aesthetic. And in fact, aesthetic is the key word for Vaporwave, because it's got all sorts of really strange, surreal imagery kind of strung together. Lots
so
of bright
it's basically
colors,
that one Lost Episodes project that Zazer did of like beta maps and console maps and stuff, where everything just turned all surrealistic and shit.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
So I've accidentally done this. Yeah. I'm asking, what would this look like? Oh,
it's that thing
like
I've already
done.
One of
done. My projects. I think I've actually released, hence I've forgotten about it, because it's like 20 items backwards on this. What is wrong with me? Jeez. All right.
Christ, you're going to be going through your hard drive someday, and you'll find the final version of Mordeth.
Jeez.
I was surprised to see a news update on Mordeth recently.
What?
Huh?
Yeah. Still working on it.
I've seen more death the person floating around. I haven't actually seen a post on the map set in a while.
It's like a, hey, I'm still working on it.
Yeah, I mean,
now
if I remember correctly, he posted a screenshot. It was like everyone was like, "Wow,
8 stars.
Bigfoot exists."
So here's the question: when more death inevitably gets released, what do we rename the CAC Award to?
It's still going to be the Mordeth Awards because, I mean, it's edging on 20 years of development.
The post-Mordeth?
Post-Mordeth.
There is no other project that's going to reach that long.
I'm in favor of post-Mordeth. That sounds like a great era. Like, the new era of Doom modding is the post-Mordeth
the post-Mordeth era.
Sounds like a good name. Sounds like a good name for a megaward.
Post-Mordeth.
make so many like dumb jokes like more death and
please okay, sir maybe, I want some maybe more death.
And with that I think we have more than talked about all we have wanted to, and we probably talked about quite a few other stuff as well. Thank you all very much for coming along, and I would like to thank wonderful Marty and Zazer for coming along.
Thank you, guys.
Glad Thanks. To be a service.
I'm glad to finally have fulfilled that request. You know, I know you guy, you know who you are, been asking for it, so glad to be here.
Will they make a return next time, or will we have to fill in another rotating guest role? I don't know. We'll have to see. But in the meantime, again, thank you all very much for listening. Take care, and see y'all next time.
It's been real. Boop.